Lady Franklin's Lament, sung by Shona McDowell. Now, if we know anything about Lady Jane, it's probably that she was the woman who, for the last 30 years of her life, dramatised herself as the steadfast widow of the famous Arctic explorer Sir John Franklin, who died in the polar ice in 1845, a tragic figure of the empire. And Tasmanians will know that Lady Jane Franklin built a Greek temple just outside Hobart, a little round building. Yesterday, historian Alison Alexander was rewarded for her reassessment of Lady Jane. Alison has just scored the National Biography Award. It's worth $25,000 for her book, The Ambitions of Jane Franklin. Good morning.
Good morning.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And you put that so well, Michael, when you were describing her as the widow.
Now I'm worried whether that temple is round. I think it's square, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it is. Yes. Well, yes. Not long, but I was just thinking with a bit about the widow and Sir John, you put that really well.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Well, that concludes our conversation, Alison. Goodbye. So the subtitle's good. The subtitle is Victorian Lady Adventurer. Now, those are three key words, it seems to me.
Yes, and the publisher thought that up. It was very clever of her because it does define the book, the period, the sex, and then what she was, which was very adventurous.
So tell us who your Lady Jane Franklin is, Alison.
Well, she was born just an ordinary middle-class girl in London, and she was very intelligent. She didn't like any of the things women were meant to do at the time, like domesticity or clothes or fashion or cooking or children or servants or music or art or embroidery or anything, which is very strange, really, because usually people like one of those things. But what she was interested in was intellectual activities and politics. And so she did them. And she married a man who gave her scope to do what she wanted because he thought she was wonderful and worshipped the ground she trod on, which is lovely. And so she pushed him in his career, didn't let him retire as he wanted to, pushed him into becoming governor of Van Diemen's Land, where she did all sorts of things because she must have had a brain that was all the time thinking, oh, I can do this, oh, I can do that, I can get rid of snakes, I can climb this mountain, I can build a Greek temple, I can start an agricultural colony. So she did all these things, and then she pushed him into going to the Arctic where he was lost, and then she spearheaded the enormous 40-expedition movement to try and find what happened to him.
Yes, well, I guess that's the part of the story that I know, of this woman who dramatises herself as this widow, a role she plays for 35 years of her life?
Yeah. So. Yes, that's right, yes.
I mean, But doesn't that place her in the shadow of a man?
Yes, it does. It does. She was no feminist. She seemed to be quite happy. And when she was in Van Diemen's Land, trying to achieve things to make him look good, she was all the time giving him the credit, not her. So she wasn't a Florence Nightingale who was doing things off her own bat. She was quite happy with, she was quite conservative politically and happy to be seen as in the shadow of a man, as long as she could do something.
And she's also, obviously, one of those Victorian women who used to sit down and write as a matter of discipline.
Yes, write till 2 and 3 in the morning. She wrote a couple of thousand words every day with a quill pen or a pencil.
So you as a historian, have just got this treasure trove to work with. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. Oh, well, once you get the hang of reading her writing, it's fabulous just being with her and getting to know how her mind works for page after page after page. And it's exciting. It's a huge amount to try and synthesise, but that's a challenge.
And did you feel that you knew her intimately?
Yes, but she was very complex and she kept some things back. And also, she or her niece, who was a sort of guardian of the flame, culled her papers to take out all the things that were negative or that put her in a negative light. So you don't really, you know what she allowed to be presented. But there's a few papers that escaped, and the things that were culled were when she was critical about other people or when she argued with Sir John, which she did, telling him what to do, or anything that was actually really boring, trivial stuff. So what's left is what she wanted, how she wanted to appear.
So she could be acerbic, because she does have a reputation for having been a bit of a battle axe.
She was, but she wouldn't have done what she did if she hadn't been a battle axe. And I had to keep on thinking, now, is what we call admirable determination in a man a bit of a battle axe and negative in a woman?
Oh, that's very fair. You know, yes, that's a good card to play. Can't trump that. No, that's That really gets it. Yes, how marvellous. So what's the thing you admire about her most, Alison?
Oh, the fact that she had the courage to be herself at that period when women were meant to be domestic angels, and she wasn't going to be one.
One of the stories about her life is that she adopted, I think it's two Aboriginal children, and she has got some bad press for that. How do you see that incident?
Oh, well, I didn't enjoy doing that research much. She did it to see what happened if you tried to civilise, in inverted commas, Aboriginal children. It wasn't out of consideration for them.
Oh, so it's a sort of experiment.
Yes, it was. Yeah. And so she adopted the boy, who wasn't very responsive, so he was apprenticed as a sailor and went away. Then she adopted the little girl, who was younger and more malleable and stayed for 3 years. But she was prone to throw tantrums, poor little thing, not surprisingly, you know, cut off from everything she knew and forced to become European. And so she was sent back. Well, they left anyway, but she was sent back to the Aboriginal colony now without any parents and with the white staff being nasty with her, saying, go back to where you came from.
So with 30 seconds to go, Alison, you haven't fallen in love with her. You've kept a clear eye about her.
I did try to, yes. Yeah, yes. You can't write this sort of book unless you try terribly hard to be objective.
Well, I'm sure you've whetted all of our appetites. It just sounds marvellous. Alison, congratulations on the prize.
Thanks very much, Michael.
Alison Alexander, she's the winner of the National Biography Award for The Ambitions of Jane Franklin. It's published by Allen & Unwin, and it was the winner in a very strong shortlist. It sounds like a terrific book, doesn't it? The judges praised Alison's biography, saying that she had transformed Lady Jane from the figure of wifely constancy into a highly intelligent woman of immense and restless curiosity.